just the power of being behind a screen and selling to the entire world and, you know, to the entire country was something that drew me to it instantly.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Direct to a Billion Consumers. My name is Arjun Vaidya and I'm your host. Today, I'm very excited to have Bharat Sethi with me. Bharat is the founder of Rage Coffee, a brand that all of us know. He's also a close friend and one of the most passionate founders I've met. You'll always see Bharat wearing his Rage cap, except the time he went to get an award from the President of India. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show, Bharat.
Thank you so much, Arjun. I'm super excited to be here. That was a little funny. Everybody made a joke about it, I think, but
that's something we discussed the last time we met anyways, right? That this is the only time I've seen you without the Rage cap.
Yeah, there were more people talking about that than the award itself, but I'm okay with it. It's fine.
So look, Bharat, I always start with a journey, and I know your journey and story, we've discussed it. It's one that started with e-commerce before e-commerce was as cool or talked about as it is today. Tell us about that previous startup, how e-commerce came to you, how e-commerce was at the time, and then eventually what drew you to Rage.
Yeah, Arjun, I'll keep it short in the interest of time, but I started very young. I came from a family of, you know, businessmen, all kinds of businesses I saw in my family. And I was throughout my school life, I think one gift that I had was that I, you know, learned this about myself that, you know, there is something about leadership that I really love. So I was, you know, the captain of the school football team. I was heavily doing a lot of debating, quizzing, you know, I was the head boy of my school. So when I was doing all of this, I just kind of learned that I don't want to do the, you know, engineering or the medicine or, you know, the usual stuff. And that's when I discovered my love. When I was very young, I was 16, and I discovered my love for building, creating, you know, and building for making money. I'll keep it that way. And then as soon as I, you know, graduated from college, in fact, I, you know, those 3 years I was working, you know, I went to do my economics honors. I hardly attended college. I was doing a lot of side gigs. I got fascinated by the power of selling online because Flipkart had just come in. Myntra was setting up shop, you know, and I ordered from both these platforms back in the day, this 2009. And I was extremely like, you know, just the power of being behind a screen and selling to the entire world and, you know, to the entire country was something that drew me to it instantly. And then I learned about how people discover you online, because that was the big puzzle. So SEO, affiliate, content marketing, blogs, so on and so forth became very interesting concepts to me. And I couldn't wait. I didn't sit for any of the placements. I had no interest in getting a job, although I did end up working in 3 places for 6-7 months. But 2011, I started my first business, which was an e-commerce business, which was essentially selling licensed merchandise. Started there, then it became a, you know, marketplace for artists, designers. We grew from 0 people, 1 people, team in the first year of the business to about 50 odd people. Grew very, very healthy, efficient, cost-efficient business. Very, I would say, just a business that minted a lot of money and also was fundamentally very strong. Built on the right principles, built on social media, built on the back of search and optimization. So, you know, that's the time when it hits you, right? That there is a lot of possibilities. And 4 years I ran it and scaled it to become a very prominent brand for the audience. And it was direct to consumer. We were a brand because we promoted the brand, and because of the brand, people trusted in the quality. And these were 16 to 24 year olds. And we figured out, yaar, ki hooks kya hai, what are the hooks? Email was very strong for us. SMS was very strong that time. You know, push notifications came in. So we utilized all of those marketing hooks and, you know, branding psychology to retain our customers. Did not spend more than 5% on marketing throughout the journey of the business. Corporate costs throughout the journey of that business would be less than 5%. Very healthy net margin business. And that's when I realized, yaar, ki if I have to do this on a 100x scale, what will need to change? And that's when I thought about the macros being right. You know, ki I have only 10 hours, 14 hours to give in a day. Can I give those 14 hours? You know, what are the variables that will need to change for me to run a 500 crore company? And I was 25, 26 that time. And then I started something. So I exited the business in 2016. And for 18 months after that, I started something else, which did not take off. It was in a B2B commerce space. So my heart wasn't there. I realized I'm a consumer guy. We tried to achieve product market fit, but it was a very humbling experience. Taught me everything, what not to do, sales teams, kaise nahi banani, how to do more primary research before starting the business, how to predict where the market is going, how to really have a revenue, you know, like just an understanding of where the revenue is going to come from before building something. There were many mistakes I made in those 18 months. And 2018, Feb is when I started Rage. So this entire journey before I started Rage, I was 27, 28 when I started Rage. And I collected so much of learnings by then, mostly in terms of what not to do. And, you know, I had a very pragmatic, you know, scientific approach to building Rage. It was about check. You know, like it was like a checklist I had. It was like taking off a lot of boxes. Repeats hona chahiye. There should be enough loyalty in the business. The innovation should be fundamentally differentiated. So on and so forth. So this is my journey before I started Rage.
You know, a lot of what you said is that sometimes when I speak to people who are just about to start up, a lot of philosophical questions come to their mind, right? What will happen? What could happen? And I think usually I always say that the best way to start is to start, right? And so I think that practical experience of doing things, going right, going wrong, that checklist actually was sort of really powerful for you to start the brand, because I think it allowed you to learn from your previous experiences and get the brand going, right? And I want to talk about the brand itself, right? I love the brand part of Rage from day one. I remember when it launched, I was 1.5-2 years in with Dr. Vedas, and I was like, what is this brand? You know, and I wanted to talk about prior to raising money, because that fascinates me. Founders who want to build larger than life consumer brands, but need to stretch the limited resources that they have to still make the customer feel like it's larger than life, right? So talk to us about building the Rage brand in 2018, 19, early on, making it sexy, getting Ranvijay on board when celebs were still not a thing for D2C brands. How did you go about doing all of this?
So, you know, in 2018, I think the biggest driver for me was my understanding of the consumer, right? What happened was I had this green notebook and I was traveling heavily during that time. I traveled to 5 countries in that 1 year, you know, 17 and 18. And I carried notes. I was just observing. And if I had a thesis, I made it a point to put it down there. And then I tried to either prove that thesis right or wrong. For example, I was interested in the supplements category. So put the thesis there that there is this category. It's interesting. Then I was interested in a lot of distribution. So in fact, I started something for new age brands distribution. Tried it for three, four months. Didn't work. PMF nahi mila. Didn't scale it up. And for example, I was interested in luggage as a category. I tried to make this basically this model where I was saying that here is the intersection of my passion and the market opportunity. And there were all of these levers that I had, for example, ability to build a brand online, margin structures, repeat, and ability to have a certain repeat, lifetime value possibility, CAC possibility. All of this was put down. The ability to disrupt, can we charge a premium, so on and so forth. What if, you know, and then there were multiple scenarios that I created, worst case, best case. And this was all being done on, you know, in this green notebook that I had. And because I had, you know, done all of this, I kind of just created this table where I could figure out, yeah, coffee is where my heart is and where the market opportunity is. And that was the understanding of the category. And that's how I learned that, you know, and when I just thesis that, okay, can we build something substantially large in the coffee category? And that's when I went to talk to the distributors, the trade, you know, the entire manufacturing supply chain setup and the consumers. And I realized I'm seeing something that many people aren't. I'm seeing a need for a functional coffee brand, for a cafe-like coffee experience, packaged coffee company. Millennials and Gen Z are using coffee, you know, for a caffeine hit. That's what they're paying for. So there were many of these discoveries, right? The flavored angle, the single serve angle, the ability to empower or upgrade an average consumer without complicating coffee. Many of these discoveries. And then this was from a supply chain, or let's say the product point of view. And then there was this whole void, you know, around coffee as a sexy category, right? Coffee is extremely aspirational. Coffee is an emotional subject. It's like it's the second most traded commodity in the world, but it's not treated as a commodity. Imagine the beauty of a product like that. It's not like your soap or toothpaste where you just don't care. You really care about your coffee. And even aficionados and connoisseurs of coffee who, you know, treated that subject were drinking like really bad products. So the ability to, you know, make mistakes and still build something substantial was very attractive to me, because I realized there will be many mistakes that will be made in this journey as well. So this part, which was the emotional psychology of coffee and then creating something that was completely counter to what was happening in the market, was my hook and also my thesis. So the word name, the word range, the brand name, the colors. In fact, everybody, Arjun, I used to show this product to. And then one thing I learned was to not take a lot of feedback. Also, when you were starting, you should be very careful of who you take feedback from. But I showed it to a lot of people who were insiders to the coffee industry. And they were literally, most of them laughed. What are you trying to do? Who's going to even touch this coffee? You know, because they were not seeing what I was seeing. They did not know this consumer. And even the consumers, right? And I took a very, very pragmatic approach. I did not even register the brand name before I realized that, yeah, this is it. So pura, it was an 8-month journey where every day the idea was to get it right. Small things, packaging se leke, product se leke, advertising, marketing angle se leke. So this was the journey, and before starting Rage, and the brand is everything, you know, that a category disruptor needs, and that's why it worked, I think.
But Bharat, tell me something. I think today everything's great, right? The brand is big, the brand is known to everyone. The brand is popular. But in the early days, right, I remember with Dr. Vedas as well, when nobody knew the brand, how do you, like, what advice or what tips or tricks or things did you use to stretch the dollar to the maximum? See, when you have money, it's a different story. But when you don't, how did you do this?
Yeah, I missed that part, actually. So Arjun, my understanding of building a business was to, by when I started Rage, was to get something right. Like, do, you know, have a small idea, do simple things. Because, you know, I'd already, a lot of hard work was already done by the time I started Rage. And we discovered that we don't need to do too many channels. We don't need to do too many marketing styles. We don't need to do too many marketing channels. What I really stuck to was hammering that Rage is a dominant or going to be a dominant player, an authoritative approach to marketing, a very truthful approach to marketing, be it the clean labels, be it talking about the product. And the idea was, yes, we have limited capital, but what we have is a story and a great product. So my personal goal was, can I tell 3 people every day about Rage? This is the first, let's say the first 3-4 months. Can I get them to buy Rage? And can these people then, and can I do that automatically or by building a feedback loop, can then these 3 people tell another 3 people? And we did not go on Amazon, Arjun. We did not do any paid advertising in the first year of the business. We simply stuck to doing word of mouth, doing one channel, which was Instagram, create organic content, get people to try out the product, do a lot of sampling initially, get a little bit of PR because the product was, you know, just fundamentally differentiated. We launched the product in shots. These were 3.25 gram shots, which was never done before. You know, I think in the world, nobody was doing these kind of PET biodegradable shots for coffee, which you could carry with yourself in, you know, anywhere. So I think in the first year of the business, when we were stretching our, you know, marketing dollar to the maximum and, you know, everything, which was a lean team, only 5 to 6 people in the team. So my target was 10,000 customers who were doing 40%, 50% repeats from D2C in the first year of the business. And we achieved that. And this was it, yeah. So try to do something right. Don't fall too thin, too wide on anything. Like, you know, don't try to be everywhere. Be something for someone, and you know, then the opportunities and the doors open up.
And I think that be something for someone instead of being a little bit for everyone is where Rage stands out, right? Because I remember us having a discussion, you were like, Rage is not for everyone. And that's okay. I mean a lot for the people who like me or the people who love my brand. But I don't have to be loved by everyone, because that means that I don't have a strong feeling with the customers that love me. So Bharat, you know, I remember the first long chat we had, right? It was just after the first lockdown. That's when we had like a long 1.5-hour chat. And I think there was a lot going on for all of us as D2C founders at that time. It was managing this thing called the pandemic. It was dealing with this new normal, store shutting down, uncertainty, managing the team. And I remember we had a great discussion about what you were doing through this time. Now that, like, a lot of us have forgotten that we went through this time 2 years ago, I just wanted to jog your memory back to that time. Tell us about that time, how you managed an early organization, kept a team motivated, even though you didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah. I remember that chat, and it was, I think, a long chat. It was extremely, you know, lots of learnings for me. I still remember you being extremely positive about everything. And I was like, dude, yeah, it's great, but what's going to happen next? And so, yeah, that time, so I went from, you know, feeling what's going to happen to saying, let me take complete control of my business and let me just use this time to shine. So what we did was the first month, even in April, we were not completely shut. We started operating. And in, I think, May or June, I had a meeting. We were about, I think, about 25, 30 people that time, maybe 40 people, not more than 50 for sure. Take care. If you include my, you know, entire operation staff as well. And we just collected together and we said, can we use this opportunity? Because everyone's, you know, not delivering. The trade supply chain is broken. The trade is broken for a lot of these bigger brands. And, you know, I've always looked at two large players as my competition. And I said that, can we do a lot of things that these people are not doing, be it from the marketing standpoint? And we had a couple of, you know, marketing dollar was we had, because we were profitable. We had the opportunity to kind of go all out and see how it goes. And then we started increasing our marketing spends. We increased our marketing spend slowly, I think over a quarter to five times. We started seeing the returns there, and then we started building the story. So I think by the end of 2020, we were in a position to say that the reach that we were able to get, you know, was something which was not possible otherwise. And how do we leverage this to now go from where we were to five times more? And then we started setting this target of every 6 months, can we do five times? Can we do four times? And it was just the mindset, Arjun. I think how we built the brand in the pandemic was just the mindset of saying that, can we utilize this in our favor? Can we turn this problem into an opportunity from all the angles, from a team perspective, from a marketing ROI perspective, you know, from a visibility perspective? That's how I looked at it, and that's what we did.
And I think it played out, right? Because I think in that year, the brand grew significantly in terms of relevance, in terms of what it meant to customers, in terms of its space in the ecosystem, right? So
yeah,
I wanted to move or segue to now something that everyone is asking, right? So look, the pandemic, the 2 years, let's say April 20 to maybe March of 22, that period was just exponential growth of online as a channel, right? But
yeah,
now things have opened up, offline has opened up. And so now there is these existential questions being asked on channel strategy, omni-channel, will online tap out? And F&B, right, your category,
yeah,
with lower price points, it's not been an online-only category, right? All the successful businesses in your space have used an omni-channel strategy. So tell us how you think of channel specifically for your business, a mix of online, offline. How do you think of things like that?
Arjun, from day zero, I have 2018. From that time, I believe that if I want to do anything significantly, you know, or even, you know, minusculely significant in this category, you know, it has to be disruption offline and visibility offline and distribution offline. So D2C was always a mode to understand the consumer better. It's data, and that's how I've looked at it. The pandemic obviously slowed down distribution for a lot of other brands, but even in the first month of the business, I experimented with offline distribution. That's my DNA. I come from that background. And there was, you know, and data is there because I had, again, a very scientific approach, right? So 97% of our consumer, you know, sales just sit offline. How can I possibly even build something without disrupting? But the idea was you build the brand online, right? It's not online versus offline. It's online and offline. But Arjun, the catch is that, you know it, that getting throughput offline is not easy. Throughput offline and, you know, offtake in the offline market, and the trade trust comes from the brand pull. So it had to be, you know, both of these, the online and offline journeys had to be chalked out together. And that's what we did. In the first year of the business, when the pandemic hit, we had about one CFA, we had about four or five odd distributors. And we were already, you know, we had started to get some one or two units being sold in all of these outlets. We had put a team of promoters. Now, when the pandemic hit, everybody was like, everything changed. The blueprint changed. We started getting a lot of inbound requests from retailers directly, from distributors directly. We built the entire trade, the foundation of the trade rather, during the pandemic on a cash and carry basis. We turned the model upside down. We said we were charging 1 lakh rupees for minimum investment from a distributor. We made it to 5,000 rupees. We gave them manpower support. We started giving them a lot of marketing support. We started, territory first approach, where we were going and saying that we will first crack one territory and then we'll move to other territories. And we changed that. We said, wherever there is demand, we'll go there. From Ladakh to Dimapur, to somewhere in Kochi to somewhere in Rajkot. We will go wherever there is a distributor demand, and we will then support that distributor through and through. Today, Arjun, and we've believed that thoroughly, right? And we've continued to do that. So my channel mix has been in the range of, online and offline have been always been in the range of, about 40-50%. Yes, the pandemic initially, when the lockdowns were there, it was heavily skewed towards online. But, as the lockdown started to ease, we've always been 50-50, 40-60, somewhere 60-40. And that's how we've grown. Today, we are about 5 CFAs in all parts of the country. We are about 20 super stockists and 150 distributors. We today are, as we speak, we're onboarding a distributor every 2 days. So the belief still remains the same. From 97%, maybe 95% of our, market still sits offline. And if we don't crack offline, getting Kohli, the idea was to, there is no power, and there is no utility if we're not utilizing this engagement for the offline channel. So that's what we're doing. Our offline is an extremely big part, and the disruption is this omni-channel business where the data feeds the entire business, and that's what keeps us innovative and keeps us ahead of the competition. The loyalty, the customer love keeps us ahead, and distribution is a beast which has to be tackled offline.
So I think, Bharat, the insight that you gave on omni-channel was really interesting, right? Because you said you'll take the insights from the D2C channel and the learnings and sort of what the customer says, and then move that to the channel for you, which you think is a channel of scale, which is offline, and that's where you can really disrupt the market, right? So I think great insight for all of those listening on using insights from one channel for the other. Bharat, I want to talk about not just Reach, I want to talk about you, right? And I know that for you, taking time off, recharging the batteries is really important. Sometimes traveling is also important to get a different perspective. You once told me that you actually spend some days outside the office while you're working. You're not actually in the office. You're working in another location so that you can get more out of the day. So in this sort of crazy hustle culture, in this world where we're talking about 16-hour days, what's your view on the right balance and how do you maintain it?
I think the balance can only be maintained if you have a stellar team. I always call them the sicarios. That's how I like to position my team, right? They 5-6 people who understand each and every bit of the business. And these people are very skilled and extremely committed to what they're doing. And they are all entrepreneurs. And if you don't have this team, especially while scaling up aggressively, a lot of things can go wrong. So just building this team out has been one of the key components of finding that balance for me. The second thing would be, how I look at building and scaling. What I think is that there are many parts to this journey which, come when I'm with my team, when I'm thinking hard about those problems and challenges from product development to distribution and retention. But I think a lot of perspective to me has always come when I am just free, when I'm not thinking about that challenge, but I'm just observing. I like to take trips where I'm just, where my phone is not with me. I like to pen down a lot of notes with me. It might sound philosophy to some people, but it's just feeling weightless. When I'm weightless, when I am not cracking problem, I perform the best. And a lot of innovation comes to me when I am in this frame of mind where I'm just thinking about and observing people and talking to people. So that's how I think about the balance. It's without a great team, nothing can happen. Feeding the team with the right power and giving them all the tools they need to perform is critical. When that is there, then I have the opportunity to think about what will take me from, you know, from where I am personally, from where I am professionally, where the company is 5 times, 10 times. And I'm always thinking 5, 10 times. I'm thinking 100 times. And that to me, it doesn't come when I'm in the office trying to crack a problem, trying to crack a specific challenge. That to me comes when I'm just weightless and free.
That's part of a founder's job, right? Because there is the day-to-day, and then there's getting out of the day-to-day to think of strategy, to think of scale, to think of the future. And I think sometimes just getting out of the day-to-day firefighting is the only way that you can actually think of the future scale and the next step for the business, right? So Bharat, you know, I wanted to ask you one last question on the future, right? On what's going to happen going forward, right? And not just for Rage, but, you know, there's lots of discussions now on customer acquisition costs increasing, CPMs increasing, how much money should be spent on performance marketing versus brand, on the channel strategy. And so I just wanted to leave it with you, talk about where you see our world of D2C, our world of insurgent brands going in the next 5 years. Right? We're talking about this $100 billion industry. We're talking about the decade of D2C. But if you were to sort of see where we are presently and talk about a few trends you'll see that the Indian customer or the Indian D2C will evolve in over the next 5 years.
Arjun, I think basics, I just want to focus on the basics. D2C was always a way to understand the consumer better. Can we do that for somebody starting out today? Can you do that through other mediums? Can you build or rely on certain tools that will help you understand the consumer better? Can you have even 5% of your sales coming from a direct-to-consumer channel, but that will be so powerful that you are able to be cutting edge? So for me, I think just the basics. We are seeing, you know, it's been 10 years, 15 years, social media has been around aggressively. You know, marketing on social media has been around for maybe 12 years throughout the world. So I've always believed that reliance on any one big corporation to build your business is never a good idea. Be it any marketplace, be it any marketing channel. The beauty of building a business that is agnostic of these channels and without dependency is that it will be long-term. It might not be, you know, this rocket ship that will grow like, you know, very, very aggressively. And each entrepreneur has their own journey to make. But just being, you know, being futuristic about where the consumer is. And for me, that's what I'm doing right now. Where are the consumers going? Why aren't, if privacy is such a big issue, it will continue to be a big issue. It is personally a very big issue for me. I'm actually, Arjun, I'm delighted that this is happening because we have the opportunity now to, when I say what's happening is basically the increasing cost of acquiring the customer online and then the increasing cost of retargeting that customer online and getting to know that customer better. The cost is going to increase only. So the content, so going back to the basic, what was social media? Social media in the first place meant that communities and people could come together and, you know, have a conversation, enjoy. So finding these channels, finding channels where people are still communicating online and then trying to leverage those channels, something like Discord, for example, something like YouTube comments, for example. So many of these communities where, and channels where people are still coming together and it's not that easy to, or it's not that difficult to find these communities or building these communities yourself. I think just going back to the basic, be where your customer is, find where your customer is going to be. If it's not on Facebook, if it's not on Instagram, if it's not on Amazon, where is that consumer? And can you then build a business? And if it needs to be built, it needs to be built in a cost-effective manner. So I think that's where I see the future. It's going to the basics. And I see the power of brand building because brand is the only moat. And brands, you can spend a couple of $1 billion, $1 million on trying to build a brand online. And, you know, you can't shut down product, you know, down someone's throat. So it will go back to the basics. And I'm enjoying it.
I think deep insight on brand and community, right? Because while there is a lot more customers online now, or there are a lot more customers willing to try insurgent brands or new age brands, there's also lots more competition. And so being able to create that moat through brand and community is the big takeaway that I've been hearing a lot of, and Bharat is resonating with that and saying that as well. So Bharat, we've got to the end of our conversation, but before I let you go, it's a tradition on the podcast to have a quick rapid fire round. So you have to say the first thing that comes to your mind when I say these things. What's your favorite brand and you can't say Rage?
Nike.
One aspect of being a founder you don't enjoy?
Oh, man, that is tough. One aspect of a founder that I don't enjoy? Lack of, you know, sometimes time for family.
Android or iOS for you?
iOS, all in iOS. Everything Apple.
What's your favorite Rage product?
The original flavor instant coffee.
Who's one founder you look up to?
My dad.
What's the app you spend the most time on?
Shopify.
And what's one bucket list item you want to take off next?
Masai Mara.
That's been I think my wife has the same bucket list item as you. She's been wanting to go to Africa for a really long time. But Bharat, I think it's been an amazing podcast, amazing conversation. I think lots of insights for me to take out of this as well. To all of you, thank you so much for listening. And until the next episode, we'd love to hear back from you on feedback, questions, or anything else. I'm always available on Instagram at abvaidya, on LinkedIn, Arjun Vaidya, and I'd love to chat. And if you like what you heard, don't forget to click the subscribe icon and share with family and friends. I know I'm going to ask Bharat to send me a Rage cap after this podcast is over, but thank you so much, Bharat, for being on the podcast.
Awesome, Arjun. It's always a pleasure to speak to you. I think one of the most enjoyable Sundays for me already. What a great start.